What's up? This is DaVinci, Power Pellet Podcast. Just want to apologize for the quality of the show. Just want to say sorry in advance. We tried everything we could, but we couldn't get the audio quality right. So I tried to clean it up as much as possible. It's a lot of moments where the sound would dip out on both ends. We just had call quality issues. Also, eventually, Merc, he gets a little crabby towards the end. He gets a little edgy because, you know, the quality was in and out. So apologize for Merc, but we did get a rant out of him. So Power Pellet Podcast, enjoy. Podcast. Today is April 22nd, 2016. This is the number one video game podcast still in beta. I'm your host, DaVinci, here with my co-host, Akimbo Merc. Say what's up, man.
What's going on, everybody? Everybody, what's going on?
Power Pellet Podcast feels good to be back. It's a Friday. For me, today is Tuesday. I still got three more work days in my week.
I have no sympathy for you.
It's been like that for a long time, and to say I'm used to it wouldn't even be right. So,
all right.
Hey, I'll do a little bit of housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Housekeeping.
Come back later, please.
Housekeeping.
Not now.
Housekeeping.
Go away.
I come in anyway.
Power Pellet Podcast. You can find all our recent episodes on YouTube. All of our most recent podcasts are available through iTunes if you subscribe to us and Stitcher. And don't forget to tell a friend about the show if you enjoy everything you hear. Yeah, we appreciate that. The more followers, the bigger the conversation we can all sit down and have and talk about video games, TV shows, and movies. Am I missing anything, Merc?
Just about how handsome I am. I think you need to tell the people that as well.
Yeah, you know how like they say like people got radio faces.
Ah, you got a radio face and I don't.
It's,
got it.
It's a reason we're not shooting this as a video yet.
That's horrible.
Merc, man, let's keep it simple, man. What's in your system? Hey, you know what? You had some homework last week. That you said you was going to take care of. A couple betas out there. Did you get a chance to play the Doom beta or the Battleborn beta?
I did not play the betas, but I did watch a lot of gameplay for Battleborn and for Doom. So I can't speak on these things. Yeah, I can speak on these things, man. I don't know. I don't have a lot of bad things to say. Well, you asked me a question. What's in my system? I want to start there. I beat the incursion on the Division. That is what is in my system, and it's important that I talk about that because this thing has been probably one of the greatest video game challenges I have played in years as far as toughness. This was a throwback type experience to like my buddy I was playing with. He was like, dude, this is like beating Ikari Warriors. Do you remember Ikari Warriors?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the top down two player shooter.
Yeah. He was like, yeah. Or like Metroid, kind of remembering the map in Metroid. I'm like, yeah. So that's what this felt like, man. It was a great experience. Losing, getting to the end, not finishing, did that twice. So there's essentially 15 waves that you have to defeat. And each wave is unique, kind of unique and different. Snipers, grenaders, heavies, as we call them, the big dudes with the big backpacks, rushers, guys with shotguns that come after you. And then I think three times you have to plant bombs on this MPV or whatever. And so, yeah, man, it was hard to beat. It was a little glitchy. you know, video games tend to be a little glitchy sometimes nowadays, and so that added to some of the frustration. But overall, man, it was like first figuring out how to beat it, then actually getting a good team of four together to beat it, and then beating it. And so
all level 30s?
All level 30s, all high gear, all players with mics who are all willing to play together, man. And you get a good squad, you can actually get out there and beat it. We tried beating it with just three of us and a random, and, you know, the random kept dying. He wasn't, his loadout wasn't correct, and we tried with a couple of different randoms.
Were y'all able to communicate with him, or were y'all in a private chat?
He was able to hear us. We invited him, actually, I had him as a friend, invited him to our party. I could tell he was listening, but he wasn't talking, so that kind of hurt us as well. And so, we thought we could do it with the random guy, but wasn't able to do it. But when we finally got assembled, you know, me, Raphael, Leonardo, Donatello, Michelangelo, you know, we went out there and we did it right. Got it done.
Went in the background, motivating.
Right. But no, it's funny. It was hard, like the one top down turtle game we had to beat that year. Remember that top down turtle?
Yeah.
It was hard like that. So that's really it, man. That's what's been in my system, video game wise. You know,
so what about TV shows?
Let me tell you about that right now. You want to save it for the cool down?
Just what you was watching real quick. You ain't got to go in depth. Really.
Watching a bunch of stuff, man. Been watching The Path. Been watching Vikings. Watch a little NBA.
Are you into Vikings? I can't get into Vikings.
Loving Vikings. A Viking, to me, hit that Game of Thrones chord for me. So, like, while Game of Thrones is on its way, Viking is doing a great job of substituting.
It's like that filler.
The itch, yeah. It got likable characters, man. That's all I think what you really need is a couple of likable characters, and they keep it fresh. My wife is into it. So that's another added bonus. We can watch that together.
Right. Yeah, that makes a difference.
So what about you? What's been in your system, sir?
Man, I went ahead and I went and got the mega, super mega plus bonus trade in from GameStop. Just to tell a quick story, I had Diablo 3, I had Mad Max, and I had an extra Xbox One controller. And decided, okay, I'm gonna trade this stuff in. I'm interested in Quantum Break for the Xbox One. So, okay, went to GameStop, and I was like, wait a minute. Let me pull an app up. If for anybody who is familiar with GameStop, hopefully 2016, you done downloaded the app on the phone. You up to date with technology. On the app, they offer a lot. They have a lot of offers. And when I opened up the app, pulled up current offers, they had five. And it was two that stuck out that was perfect for me. One offer was if you trade in one or more Xbox One and or PS4 games, you get an extra $10 no matter what. No, don't matter what game, how old they are, it doesn't matter. Traded those games in, plus with my extra pro card, you get the extra 10% trading in that way.
Right.
With the controller, traded it all in, and it was like a little bit over $60. Sweet, right? So did that, and then I was like, okay, well, I looked online. I searched first. Let me get a used copy of Quantum Break.
Right.
They had another offer in the app. Buy any used game, get an additional 20% off of that game.
Wow.
So purchase Quantum Break for $40.
Right.
A steal, dude. Purchased that for $40. Took the leftover $20 I had and plucked that down on the new Doom that's coming out next month. So I'm set. Came home, got to play Quantum Break. Played Quantum Break for about an hour. First off, I think the game is gorgeous. It's beautiful. The way the characters look, the environment. You start off on this college campus. You're this guy. They don't really go into detail about who you are right up front. But it starts off with you're meeting a friend of yours who's a professor out of college. And it was weird because it was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in the game. Okay. And it kind of jumps off that way. And you're going through the college campus and you're seeing where it was protesters of what the professor was doing as far as working with this quote unquote time machine. And just the environment was beautiful. The character models, the face was perfect. In the game, they used popular actors that you would know. One was Littlefoot from Game of Thrones. And then you got the dude who played Iceman from the X-Men movies.
Littlefinger. Like Littlefoot, hold on.
Yeah, like I knew a little something. You got Iceman from X-Men. He the main character. And then you got dude from Lost. He was the guy, I can't remember his name, but he's got the Irish accent. He also played in the Hobbit movies, Lord of the Ring movies. But anyway, yeah, you get in the game, beautiful looking game, and eventually you get your powers, your time control powers. And as you progress through this first act, they slowly give you, okay, this is your power. You can freeze a character and then shoot them. And when they unfreeze, they get all the bullets at the same time. Okay. You could create a time shield with your hand. It's almost like you don't necessarily like freeze time and then walk to another area and unfreeze it. What they do is he kind of fast travels from, you know, say like you cover on one wall and you want to jump to the other wall. So your guy zips over there, kind of a fast travel action, which is sweet, man. All of the time control features that they kind of introduce you to in the first act were sweet, man. The only thing I didn't like was like when you shoot some of the guys, the animations of when they get hit and they go down.
Right.
It's real jarring when in the game you shoot a guy and he would instantly curl over, like, you know, he got punched in the stomach, and then you keep shooting him, but all the shots going over his shoulder.
Right. Okay.
Like the animation is just horrible. But I think what I kind of noticed was you're almost meant to use your powers before you shoot everybody. So you could free somebody and you could unload your clip on them.
Yeah.
And then hit them.
Now, how you feel about that? Do you feel like they're forcing you to use this cool game mechanic? You know what I mean?
Nah, kinda, man, like, I loved it. Like, I won it. That's what the game's about. You just got with these powers. So you almost feel like, man, I'm not having fun if I'm not using these powers. Okay. So quickly got over the animation, and I'm a big story person. The story and how they kind of break things down through the first act, you know, story then gameplay, and then story then gameplay. They move you along throughout the set, and it came up to a point where you get to make a decision, and that decision that you make in the game affects what they have like a live TV show,
right?
That correlates with the game. That you can watch on your own on your Xbox, and the decision you make affects what goes on in the TV show, which I thought was pretty cool, man. I'm enjoying it so far. First act, getting a little bit of time, as far as like an hour or two into it, man, I feel like it's about an 8.5 out of 10, man. I was liking it a lot.
How do you
say it again?
How do you feel about video games that where you're the protagonist, but they don't really tell you who you are until later on in the story? It kind of unfolds slowly. Do you feel like that pulls you into the game and makes you more curious, or it kind of takes you out of the mindset and the view of the character that you're playing as?
The way this game does it, I like it because they do it. It is at a slow rate, but it's not as slow as you might think, right? Because at the same time, you're learning about the professor and his motive. And then your brother, who essentially kind of goes along with you on this journey and helps jumpstart the story. I don't want to spoil what happens with it.
Right.
They both have conversations between each other where you get little tidbits here and there. I kind of like that flavor and how they did it, because at first you think, okay, I'm this guy. And then you start to learn, okay, well, this happened with him and another character. And then, you know, he meets a female who you notice is going to be in the game later on. And everything's kind of touch and go, and every now and then you get where he's kind of talking to himself, and you read, you know, you got all these article postings and you know, emails and stuff like that. They flesh it out pretty early on. You're not too lost when you start the game.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
So, yeah, that's when I'm playing Quantum Break. I've been watching the Star Wars. I started the Star Wars Rebels cartoon. which is a Disney cartoon, but excellent Star Wars show.
What is that on? What are you watching that on?
I recorded season two all on the DVR. It comes on Disney XD. And right now I got season one coming to the house on the Netflix DVDs sent to me in the mail.
So season one is not on Netflix yet, is what you're telling me. It's all on
I don't think they're gonna put it on the streaming side. I think because it so I know
nobody rents DVDs anymore. Come on.
But that's why I have my dude, I got like a list of like over 400 movies on DVD Blu-ray side that get mailed to the house, and every now and then if it's a movie I don't want to pay for, I just watch it once it gets mailed to the house, and eventually I get to it, and I just put Star Wars Rebels to the front of the list so I can knock that season out so I can watch season two, try and binge it all.
Yeah, because you like to collect your CD. Like I like to collect music CDs still. Yes, I do, people. I do. And I will be buying. Man.
Disappointed that new Kanye and that new Dr. Dre wasn't on CD. I'm like, I don't know if I want to download my music like that. I'm not buying these movies. They just, come to the house. I want the highest quality, right?
Right.
So if it's a copy on DVD, a copy on Blu-ray, I want to enjoy that experience. I feel like, the studios want you to enjoy it. And downloading it, streaming it, and all that stuff, it's not the same.
Music don't feel right, dude, when it's not on CD, man. There's something about skipping through a CD, looking at the album cover or CD cover.
You get the paper in your hand, you fold through. I'm a big fan of the credits, man.
Yeah, I like to see
the sound quality ain't the same.
Right, sound quality's not the same. I want to see the artwork. I want to see, computer or anything like that. And then there's this extra step where I now have to burn this onto a disc if I want to take this outside of this device. I
missed everything you said, bro. You froze up again. I missed everything you said.
I'm not repeating myself.
Power Pellet Podcast, let's keep it moving, man. Let's get into some of these topics.
I ain't repeating myself.
Got a couple of things on the list, man, for the topics this week. We're just gonna kick it off with a couple of simple topics, man. Some kind of rumors, some stuff
official.
We got one rumor
running me every day
in my phone and try to fucking wait. Red Dead Redemption 2 map leaked will be a prequel. I was a huge Red Dead Redemption fan. Huge.
Right.
What's your thoughts on this?
Did you look at the map?
I'm looking at it right now.
You're not supposed to go look at it, man. Come on.
Why not?
You're supposed to stay true to the game, baby. You're supposed to avoid that stuff, man. You don't go out and look at the map, bro. You messing up, man. That's like looking at your girl. On your wedding day. That's like going and peeking through the window and trying to see what she looked like in her dress before she come out. You don't do that, man. Look, there have been a couple of leaks. There's been two leaks that, and this is one of them that I've been trying to avoid. The Red Dead Redemption and the Star Wars 8 is the other leak that I've been trying to avoid, man. So,
don't
look at that stuff, man. What's wrong with you?
Look, I can see the map. I don't know what the writing is. I don't know what any. I didn't go that deep. I just saw like a shape. You look like a little shape of it.
Why even tease yourself? You're not gonna look at it.
It was in the article. You couldn't help but look at it, man. They threw it right in front of your face.
Oh no, I avoided the article like I did. I'm a genius. So here's my rant. Well, not rant. This is how I feel. If you listen to some of our shows in the past, you know that Akimbo Merk hates prequels.
He's a rantologist.
I'm a rantologist. Akimbo Merk thinks prequels are cheating. They're cheating the gaming community, and I think they are easy ways out of stories. Now, Red Dead Redemption, there was a game that came out on the PS2, I want to say PS2, that was first, before the big one that was made by Rockstar. Or is it Rockstar, or what's the name of the company?
Yeah, Rockstar makes Red Dead. The Red Dead.
So before Rockstar bought it and they made their version of it, there was another one that was out. So that's kind of like your first game. After John Marston's son.
Whoa, Power Pellet Podcast. Really have to. Hold on, Merc. We're going to pause. Sorry about the service interruption, everybody. Give us one quick second and we'll be right here. All right, sorry about that, Power Pellet Podcast. We still in beta. Just talking about the Red Dead, man. Any final thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, man. I was just saying that the point I was making is I think let's take your time and let's continue the story, man. Let's not go backwards. I really hate when video games do that. I hate when movies do it. I just think it's a cheap way of capitalizing off some old success, and you're not really taking any risk by putting out some new material per se. You know, right? I don't know, man. You told me a story. I don't want to know what happened before. So that's my whole thing. One of the best video game stories I've seen as well. So
we got to find some. We're gonna get it old school, man. I'm gonna give me two copper wires, man, and I'm gonna just hook you up on the telephone, and we just gonna do the podcast that way.
We just use a can, some Kemba soup cans, and some strings.
Oh, yeah, this is
Kimbo Mercon. All right, moving on. Batman, Return to Arkham. Basically, what they're releasing is, and I know this is going to also strike a chord with Merc, their plans to re-release the Batman series, the original Arkham series, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, in an HD format on the PS4 and Xbox One. Merc.
Super duper excited about this release.
Wow. Complete 360.
I'm super duper excited about this release, man. I love the Batman games, man. These are, gosh, dude, I can remember playing Batman on the Nintendo, and there was one that was pretty cool that kind of like, was like the premium version of these games, because you know Batman was super bulky and he had a couple of moves he could do and it was a side scroller, I think, but it was pretty cool. But this game fleshed it out for me, man. I love it. Bring it back. I'll probably end up buying it if it's gonna have all the previous games in it. This is a win-win for me, man. And plus, yeah, I didn't play the last Batman, so yeah, this is definitely a win-win for me.
Oh yeah, that's right. You never played the last Batman. I don't understand people. I don't understand anybody who's a hardcore gamer who has not experienced the last Batman, Arkham Knight. That game was
well. Excellent. What happened was there were too many other games coming out around the same time. You had the Metal Gear and what else? We were playing something else. Rainbow Six, I think, and it was just a lot of games that came out. And Batman kind of fell in that pile. And so it was one of the games where, okay, I didn't have to rush out and get it because it wasn't multiplayer, you know, to kind of keep up with my clan. So it was like, all right, I can shelf you, go back, get you for half price later, and feel like I hadn't missed anything. You know, so now they're coming out with all of them together. That's a bonus for me.
Right now, it's just the first original two.
Okay.
Because I guess you can't consider, unless they come out with like a physical package bundle, you know, buy this one and get this one for, you know, another $20 or something like that.
Right.
These are all the Rocksteady games. They won't include the Arkham Origins, which was made by Warner Brothers, which was still decent.
Yeah, I'm fine.
It was still decent. It was good. I mean, I enjoyed it. So, yeah, as far as a release date, see, this is what's weird about it. This says April 19th, which...
was yesterday. Two days ago.
Yeah. That might just be like a pre-order where you can actually pre-order it. Doing a little research in here, asking my assistant, Goublier. June 10th.
All right. Which is June a good 10th. Summer release, man. The summer's a slow. It is. That's dead smack in the middle of the summer. Hey, you can go back and relive some stuff. I think the price point is what's going to matter with this release.
Yeah, so that's not a bad time. June 10th, you never know, I might go and get it.
Yeah.
All right, next topic, kind of a bittersweet, but I think it makes sense because it's been about 10 years, man, on this production has ended on the Xbox 360. Take a bow. We didn't need an encore because they came out with a better console. Let me read the article and then I get your side of it.
Okay.
I'm going to read everything. I got this article off IGN. Xbox 360 means a lot to everyone at Microsoft, quote Phil Spencer. And while we've had an amazing run, the realities of manufacturing a product over a decade are starting to creep up on us, which is why we have made the decision to stop manufacturing new Xbox 360 consoles. We will continue to sell existing inventory of the Xbox 360 consoles with availability variant by country. Interesting.
I think it's interesting that they made it a whole 10 years, but I get it. This was their flagship product, you know, mm-hmm. and there are people, like you said, in other countries who are a little bit behind, you know, the U.S. and Europe and, you know, Canada. So I can see that. I can see them continuing to put this product out there. It's not a bad product. I think it's a product that still stands up to the test of time. If you bought a 360 and were playing the games, you would get a good experience.
They overcame that billion-dollar hurdle of the Red Ring of Death, and they still pushed on 10 years strong. That's huge. And plus, you know what? We've seen this coming, right? We've seen this every week. You see the trickle-down effect of numerous Xbox 360 games that are becoming backwards compatible.
Right.
So on the Xbox One. So, you know, I don't have a problem with this. And like you said, there's so many Xbox 360s floating around everywhere.
Right.
You can still get your hands on one probably for the next 1 or 2 years. Easy.
And you know what? You know what? Video games to me, the cycle doesn't end video games wise, not hardware wise. I was kind of switching it up a little bit until they say, hey, we're finally turning the servers off. Like, they just turned the servers off on some of the Call of Duty games, which is like, whoa, y'all still had the server on for that game? Really? Which meant people were actually going out there and playing it.
And you know, still playing it.
Yeah, and they were still supporting and doing maintenance on that server for whatever cost or whatever maintenance was necessary. They were, you know, I love that. I love when that extra, you know, push or extra attention that is given by studios. So, you know, hey, big shout out to Microsoft, man. You changed the video game scene. You know, I love competition. You make Sony better. You made, you know, Nintendo better. So, you know, as a gamer, it's all win-win for me.
Perfect. All right, moving on to what I would consider topic of the week. And this is more a rumor, speculation, starting to evolve into more fact. Earlier this week, there were more rumors, Merc, of the PlayStation 4.5, aka PlayStation Neo. Now, that's just a code name. Just a code name.
Sorry.
Just a code name. We're not going to have no Neo Geo. So let me read a couple things to you, man, and then we'll get your take on it. So it's a game called Oddworld, and the creator, Lauren Lannon, was just making comments in an interview and kind of mentioned that the PlayStation boss, Shuhei Yoshida,
mm-hmm.
had expressed uncertainty of whether or not there'll actually be a PlayStation 5 or not.
Because they want to do the digital, right? The downloads or whatever, the digital streaming, right?
I think no matter what, you will always have some type of unit in your living room that will allow you to play that branded version of a video game, right?
What does that look like though? Does it like a cable box? Does that look like modem? Well, you know what I mean? What does that look like?
Well, you know, you got the Rokus, the Apple TVs. You know, you had the OnLive, you know, box that looked like a little mini portable hard drive. I think if they're just going to do something that's digital, you can have something that small with the processing power and just hook your own external hard drive up to it, and you have as much storage as you want, and you download your games that way. Or you purchase an external Blu-ray drive, buy the hard copy, load it onto a hard drive, and you play the game that way. It's different ways they can do it. That's, you know, still cost effective and allow gamers.
Which one excites you? Which one is kind of like, yeah, this is the next step. This is the direction we should be going to. Or are you kind of like old school like me, where it's like, man, I need that LP, you know, and I need that vinyl, baby. You know what I'm saying? I need to be able to see it on the.
Personally,
that's kind of how I feel about it. I want the disc. So
personally, I am a big fan of. Give me a hard copy. I'm not a fan of games that require me to have an online connection to play it, regardless of whether I'm playing online with someone.
Agreed.
Right. I hate that concept. Period. I don't care.
We learned our lesson, right? With the Sims or with SimCity, right?
SimCity.
I think the industry kind of learned a lesson from that. Right. Yeah.
Yep. So sticking to the topic, huge rumor. About the specs of the PlayStation Neo, right? And one thing that was kind of stressed in this rumor was that PlayStation will not abandon and nor has plans to abandon its original base. What that kind of means and what they were saying is, like we talked about last time, when you buy a copy of The Division, that copy will be its base version, right? You put the disc in the console on your original PlayStation 4, that bad boy boots up, loads up, you get online, you play it, you enjoy that experience. If you have a PlayStation Neo, same disc, same packaging, literally nothing different about the copy. It might say Neo compatible, PlayStation 4.5 compatible, PlayStation 4K compatible. Put it in your system, and it downloads a patch for better graphics, 1080p, 4K graphics, 60 frames per second. You're still playing with the same people. And a part of all of this, and Merc is over there groaning because he don't believe in segregation. a part of this, which I was like, whoa, this is kind of impressive, right? Forget the price. I'm not even going to talk about price today. I don't care about price. We're just talking about the hardware and the comparison. Original PlayStation 4 CPU was an 8-core Jaguar processor, 1.6 gigahertz, right? The Neo, same situation, still 8 cores, Jaguar processor, 2.1 gigahertz, right? So you're talking about a 33% boost overall in CPU, if I'm just looking at the numbers generically. Going towards the GPU, it's still an AMD processor. Instead of 18, I'm going to say this word wrong, computative units at 800 megahertz, it'll be 36 CUs at 911 megahertz. To me, exactly, layman's term, I'm envisioning that graphics processor to be twice as strong, right? So when all y'all suckers still playing on y'all 1080i, 1080p TV, I'm getting them gorgeous, luscious 4K graphics, 60 frames a second. I ain't done. I'm not done. No. No. Then we talk about memory. The bandwidth is just larger, right? Still 8 gigabytes of GDDR5 RAM instead of 176 gigabits per second. It's 218 gigabytes per second. So essentially, this console is 33% stronger than your original PlayStation. Bro.
Huh? What?
Tell all the kids to cover their ears. When I read all this, I got a gamer boner.
I'm woke.
I'm ready. Give me the upgrade.
You're not a gamer boner because you are such a geek when it comes to this stuff, dude. Me, I'm so... Dude, I so could care less, bro. Listen, graphics have reached a point where they're good.
If graphics never improved
from this point on, I would be fine as a video gamer.
I will stop playing video games.
My TV, bro. They are trying to do too much. They're not trying to do too much. Keep pushing technology. But the leaps that they're taking aren't big enough leaps for me to get so excited over. I think the graphics right now are great. You know, that's and all this new
same person that said the same thing about the PS3. They was talking about the PS4 coming out, and now you're like, oh my god, I love the PS4. This game's so beautiful. The division is so great.
There's not a huge jump in the quality. That's all I'm saying. It's not for everything that you just read to me and put me to sleep over. There's nothing for me to get excited about because the leap isn't that big. You want to take a leap? I want real humans in video games. That's the leap I want next. Other than that, you just kind of push it.
I think that's a couple inches further. That's a cop out. You can't just say give me real humans in a video game. That's a cop out. It's an opinion of a cop out. I feel that's my opinion of your opinion.
Wow. Well, you're the one that put me to sleep. So,
Why? You got to put the technical mumbo jumbo out there because some people care about it, some people don't. I think in the end, it's just the idea of the same thing we were talking about, right? If I buy this computer and I want to play all these games on the computer and I play the games and they look good, and then in 3 years, I can get a new computer. But that new computer, I may have to update this driver. Is this compatible with versions of Windows, blah, 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 so forth, so forth. DirectX this, DirectX what? My head just exploded like what? Huh? Right? So your favorite console company says, we took care of all that for you. Here's a new version. Do they offer a trade-in program? Maybe, maybe not. If you want to get it, you can. If you don't want to get it, you don't have to. You know why? Because the same game you buy over here for your original system or play on both. You got that option.
We know it's always there. They're going to come out and say that in the beginning initially, and then they're going to start phasing out the PS4. And that's just the reality of manufacturing. They will eventually get to the point where they say, we don't need to make this anymore.
I don't see that. If they release this system, so here's the idea then, right? Original console cycles were about 5 years. About a five-year cycle between consoles and generations long ago, NES, Super NES, Genesis, Sega CD, Sega Saturn, so forth and so forth, right? They come out with, say this system comes out 3 years after the PS4, plays the exact same games. And then if you tell me in 3 more years, okay, we're going to release this game, but this game ain't available on the original PS4, right? That's a 6-year cycle, essentially, right? I'm okay with that. Because by that time, the PlayStation 4K, whatever, if somebody wants to decide and get that system will be $200, $300. It's actually a bonus to gamers that don't want to make that early adoption investment, want to still hold on to their system for that 5 to 6 years. And then when they're ready to upgrade again, it's not that much more money. I just thought about that. That's awesome, dude. They're not going to shut everyone out, right? You got an iPhone 1. Guess what? The iPhone 3 or 4. Plays these games, and yeah, you will have to upgrade. That's just the story of life. If like I said last time, if we're not progressing, what are we here for? Listen, and I feel like I don't. I thought you gone. I thought you disappeared. You over there asleep. I'm going to get you some of them salts that they put on the people's noses when they get knocked unconscious with concussions and wake you up. We still out here gaming, Mike. Out here gaming. Dude, I'm just, I don't know, bro. I'm super pumped and excited. And I've seen a lot of comments where people are like, I don't want a Neo, don't need a Neo. Perfect. You don't have to get one. And Sony, I believe, because other aspects in the Sony business are failing, that at this point, they have to be smart enough to say, we're not going to alienate everybody. We can't do it. Genesis did it before it failed. Nintendo was going to try it. They just completely turned around on it, didn't want to do it. I think that they have enough experience watching other companies try the same thing that they wouldn't do that. Dude, that'd be insane for them to say that in 1 year of the PS4.5 4K Neo / gimmick that you can't play that same game on the last system. That's crazy. I think what this also does is eliminates the need for backwards compatibility, which is another issue you don't have to worry about.
We'll see. We'll see where it goes, man.
I'm winded. I was excited about this topic, and you tried to shoot my hot air balloon down with a bunch of BB guns. I'm all fired up. I think we just might as well go ahead and move into the cool.
We had this argument before, so you know how I feel about it. We talked about this a little bit on the last show, so
I'm cooling off, sir.
I'm gonna hold my peace. Was that a rant?
I'm cooling off. No, that was me full of excitement and joy. Sound I'm like happy. Rant. I'm happy. No, I got all the positive stuff to say. Nothing negative. I'll let you handle the negative stuff after we get
to the cool. Why I got to be a negative, Nelly? I'm not negative.
Cooling down. All this coolness on me.
We didn't cool talk down. About Doom. We didn't talk about Doom or Battleborn.
I didn't have much else to say. You were supposed to do your research on the Battleborn and the Doom. Go ahead.
Well, you never asked me what you thought.
What you think, Mark? Doom.
Okay.
Battleborn.
I watched Battleborn, man, and Battleborn, it looks like a Nintendo game. That's the first. My immediate reaction was like, "Ooh, this is like a Nintendo game." It looked like a
color
pretty,
palette.
Yeah, a pretty arcade game, but it felt very Nintendo-ish. And I thought it had some pretty cool graphics or characters or design of the characters in the game. But at the end of the day, can I be honest with you?
Absolutely.
It played like Call of Duty.
The running gun?
The running gun arena game is what it looked like to me. And so it's a MOBA. Even when it was going through the various loadouts and the custom classes you can have, it just got back to that, almost to the cookie cutter. It felt like a cookie cutter first person shooter with some really cool packaging. And by really cool packaging, I'm talking about the different graphics and the way it was designed and stuff like that. Sadly to say, Doom is really going along that same route. When I first looked at Doom, I was like, whoa, this is Halo. And I know the people who worked on Halo worked on Doom, but I was like, this so much looks like Halo. This is ridiculous that I was a little taken back from it.
You know what's odd that you say that?
Right. What's that? Why is that?
Is that Halo actually looked like Doom. But a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. It was like, okay, this is Halo with a different skin on it, you know, with some pseudo packaging on it. And like the guy said, we know that some of the people that were involved in Halo were involved in this game, which I get. And I'm okay with that. I'm not really playing Doom for the multiplayer aspect at all. I'm playing Doom for the single player story, for my, which is weird for me to say because I'm a multiplayer gamer, but I really want to get on and have that single player experience. That's what I want. And the game looks
that's what I told Trigger Rick.
Yeah.
When Trigger Rick asked, oh, how was the beta? I was like, it was okay. He's like, oh, you put money down on it? I was like, yeah, because I want to play the story. Doom's always been about the campaign for me. The multiplayer was just, you know, the icing on the cake.
Right.
And when he said the same thing you said, he said, oh man, this look like Halo. I'm like, see. That's that stigma they're going to have to get over because Halo pulled so much from Doom.
Right.
Like, originally.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when you play the single player, you're going to be like, nah, this ain't Halo. This is not me fighting aliens on a spaceship. I mean, I might still be on the spaceship, but.
Yeah, it was Halo with blood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With blood and gore in it. And that's fine. You know, I mean, at some point, when you've had, when video games have had the lifespan that it's had, the creativity that it's had, games begin to, it's like cars. All cars have wheels with doors and steering wheels. They got stuff in common. So it's just a matter of what you like and don't like. Do you like a curve here and a hump there? And you know what I mean? You like an engine like this or you like tinted windows? You like little bitty things that kind of distinguish the cars from each other, but they're all cars. And that's kind of where we reached that pinnacle in video games. So I'm not overly upset about it. Like I said, I'm going to play it for the campaign. And after the campaign, I'm gone. So it's probably a rental for me. But that's what I got from watching it.
Hopefully it's got a co-op, man. We could run it together. Cause I got it on the PS4.
So I would love that. Yeah, I would love that experience.
As far as Battleborn, the other game I remember telling you, I couldn't remember what kind of game it was. It's a MOBA. And there was another game that is coming out, actually, I think, before Battleborn, and it's called Overwatch. Same style of gameplay, too. Same concept. You got these hero fighters. You get to choose from these different heroes. A huge array of heroes. There's over 10 different type of characters that you can run with on Overwatch. So it's you got two games doing almost the exact same thing, different art style. But yeah, they just doing the same type of stuff. So you can go ahead and present your topic first.
Yeah, keeping it positive. You know, we picked up this great show. Him and Hard about this show called The Path, man. It stars Aaron Paul. He was the guy. He was, what's his name from Breaking Bad? What's his character's name? Jimmy? I don't think it was Jimmy. It was something.
He was definitely throwing out a lot of biatches.
Yeah, he was hilarious, bro. Anyway, he's the young dude from Breaking Bad. And so he went out and produced this show called The Path, where he is, he grew up in a cult. Where his parents took him to a cult when he was 5 years old, and his wife grew up in the cult. And, you know, they're kind of showing us the inner workings of how it got started and how they operate. And you know.
What channel is that show on?
I don't know, because I've been watching it on Hulu. I'm trying to think if they told me what station was on. But anyway, we watched 5 episodes of it. The first 5 episodes that came out, we watched that yesterday. And what happened was, I was listening to an interview on the Nerdist podcast. And one of the guys was like, well, you know, what's one of the shows that you're watching right now? He was like, man, I'm watching The Path, man. He was like, you know, check it out. It's a really good show. And I was like, you know, I'm already into the paranormal. I'm into that stuff already. And so I was like, I don't want to watch another show about it. But this one turned out to be pretty good, because they do it in a way where they really show you these guys in the cult doing good things and then doing bad things. And it pulls at you morally. You know, where you kind of come in with this moral stance of all cults are bad, but then you see them do good. Right. You know what I mean? And some of the stuff that they're doing, and it just makes you kind of question your stance on it, which I think was actually just great writing, great storytelling. You know, so you get a chance, check it out. The acting is good. The story is good. You're not going to be hypnotized into actually going out and trying to join a cult. I don't think that's not the goal of it. It's not propaganda for the Illuminati, even though they use the one-eyed horse symbolism. If you're strong-minded, strong-willed, this is a show that you can enjoy just for good acting and good writing. So that's cool. That's kind of my cool down.
That's cool. I saw trailers about the show, and I knew Aaron Paul was involved in it, and what it was about, I just didn't. I was like, man, I'm already overloaded with shows, and I always get happy when summertime come around, because all the shows stop showing up on TV, and I could chill out a little bit. I'm going to have to find out what channel that's on, man, because I heard a couple things about it, and it definitely sounds interesting. Definitely sounds like a good show.
Yeah,
No, go ahead. You can finish up.
Well, I was going to say the other show that my wife and I are watching is The Path. I'm not The Path. I'm sorry. The Vikings. And that's on the history.
I got scared. I was like, oh, my God. Deja vu. I'm like, he going to tell me everything he just said about The Path. I was like, hold on. I need to go have a drink or something. Nah, we'll show you the Vikings.
But it's funny. Before, The Path is a Hulu original. So you're not... Gotta have Hulu to watch it. So, nah, I got Hulu.
I still got your sign in.
Well, there you go. So you ain't got no excuses not to go see it. You know that Hulu was putting out originals like Netflix, which is pretty cool. But Vikings is the other one.
Yeah, Amazon,
one,
too. They do originals, too.
Who do? Amazon, yeah.
Amazon, yep.
Amazon. You know, they just started their subscription service, so I might be a little bit more interested in what they got to offer. I wasn't with that whole $99 for your Prime, and now I'm sold for the year. I like month to month, so if I want to break up with you, I could dump you and not feel bad about it. But the Vikings, yeah, man, the Vikings is... If you're missing Game of Thrones and you want something kind of in that same medievalish type of genre, Vikings is a great one to go watch. And it's, they're on season number 6, so you got a lot of good content to catch up on. And it's worth it. It's not now cheesy.
Now, the Vikings, the Vikings is more like the Vikings is less HBO and more FX's as far as like quality, tone, the budget that they put into it, right? So it's not as gritty as Game of Thrones can be because of the amount of money that they can put into it. But you saying story-wise, it's definitely worth following and watching.
The sets aren't as big as you might see on a Game of Thrones, okay? But as far as the quality of the acting and falling in love with some of the characters, oh, you will. You definitely will. And it's not as cheesy as a... something you would see on the WB or I always think of Xena, Warrior Princess.
You know, that type WGN.
Of
cheese.
No, it's not that type of cheese.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It's a step up, bro. This show, I could see, this is more like a Spartacus. Like Showtime.
Okay,
this,
right.
Yeah. It could kind of fit in there. Maybe not as much sex or nudity as you would see. They do good. It's a good show. You will enjoy it. Yeah. Above budget.
When it originally came out, I had watched the first 3 episodes, and I always created, you know, for myself a rule of thumb where if I wasn't hooked by the 3rd episode, I just stopped giving the show a chance.
Right.
So hearing all this, I might go back into it. I'm so far behind, but I know I can. The only thing I got on the cooldown, man, is there was an announcement that Sci-Fi was making a Superman prequel show, which would be based on Krypton, about Superman's grandfather and the House of El, which I thought sounded amazing. Genre.
Oh, you broke up. Well, it does and it doesn't, because isn't the whole point, isn't part of Superman's power based on the fact that he's a Kryptonian on Earth? Like, so if he went back to Krypton, he wouldn't have any of these powers. Like, they don't have any of these powers on their planet because they're built for their planet, right?
Right. I think this was almost inspired by what we got to see in Man of Steel. That was where everything in the beginning of Man of Steel on Krypton was just so visually appetizing, and everything that Jor-El was doing was actually pretty good story-wise. And I feel like if you're telling me here's a spinoff and we can, you know, if the story is solid, I feel like if the story is solid, everything else about this show could fall into place, because the concept and the idea is sweet. You're on this alien world and you get to see how they functioned, pre-Superman being... happened to be shipped off to Earth before everything just kind of exploded and the planet blew up. And just the concept I'm sold on.
I'm kind of frustrated with the concept of, I know eventually this planet explodes and everybody dies other than Kal-El. But also when they, and I'm sure they're going to do some things differently, but even in the last Superman that came out, not the Superman v Batman or whatever, but the one before that, the planet, the way it was designed, it didn't look like it offered much for the storytelling. You know what I mean? It looked almost too out there. So I'm just kind of curious how they're going to pull this off. I fear this is going to be very Gotham City-ish, very what's the Superman story that came out where he didn't put his cape on?
Smallville.
Smallville-ish, yeah.
But you,
and that,
but, you're not but, that, but those are all those are all network shows, right? So we're not they manufacture network shows compared to a cable show. This being on Sci-Fi, I figured you would have been somebody who would feel like they might have might be able to give this show more of a shot compared to a regular network station.
Well, we'll see, man. That's my initial reaction to it. You know, and of course, I enjoy being wrong, and these things turn out to be great shows. So we'll see how that goes.
All right, man. This is the segment, man. I've been waiting for the whole show for. Finally back, the rant.
Man, my rant was going to be about the Division, bro, and all the negative articles that are coming out. Like, the Division is the first game that's ever had online cheating problems. Like it's the first game that's ever had glitches. People are kind of losing their mind over stuff that's been happening in video games since online video games have been out. Call of Duty had problems. GTA had problems. Destiny had problems. The Division's coming right up behind them. And people have found ways to exploit online video games and take advantage of it. And just like in those games I just mentioned, I think Ubisoft is going to find a way to fix these things and repair these things and reward the gamers who stay true to their design. That's my first rant. My second rant is, good Lord, Skype, get it together. can I just be real? You are killing my mood tonight, dude. I cannot record and get into the show like I want to because your service is like being very subparish right now. But that's it.
Yeah, we reconnected and connected a bunch of times. Hey, on the Division, Ubisoft was talking about banning a bunch of people. Do you think that people are exploiting the?
You're breaking up, but here's how I feel about it.
I just want to make sure you heard the question.
I didn't hear your question. Okay. One more time.
Okay. Do you think that people are exploiting the exploits because they're bored in the game?
Do I think people, if there was things to do in the video game, people would still cheat? Because there are things to do. You can go and you can do missions you played already on challenging. You can go and do the incursion. There's things you can do where whether you like to do them or not. That's one question. I think people are going to cheat because that is just the nature of people. That's what I believe. You know.
Just because I can, I will.
Just because people look, it's the path of least resistance. If you're telling me I can go out and get. If I can go out and get a pair of Jordans for $20 instead of $220, guess what I'm going to pay? You know what I mean? So it's like, That's just what people do, you know? And so it's the nature of people. My only problem is that the people who decide to stay honest and get online and want to have this enjoyable experience are having it ruined. Like today, I got online to play with my buddy and I got a green piece, which is one of the highest pieces you can get. And of course we ran into some cheaters. And I lost that piece to them. Now, I didn't overreact or get mad about it. I was just like, all right. You know, I knew this was a
possibility. Now, what happened? How did they cheat?
Well, because the guy killed, he almost instantly killed me. So I didn't even get a chance to
defend because myself. Of that.
Because of the glitch.
It's like unlimited damage or something like that.
Yeah, because he was just so OP, you know, that it was like, all right, I lost it. No big deal. Karma. You know, I kind of was like karma. He'll either get it online or he'll get it offline. Whatever. I'm not gonna let this ruin my experience, bro. It's at the end of the day, it's a video game. So, you know, whatever.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. Akimbo Merk attempting to turn a new leaf. I feel he's got a little bit of a softer spot in his heart. I don't know. Tell me what you think. You can find me on Twitter. I am DaVinci. The show at Power Pellet Pod C. Merc, what can they find you at?
I am Akimbo Merc, just straight Akimbo Merc on Twitter. That's probably the best place if you want to follow me, follow my crazy mind. You know, I also moderate the Power Pellet Podcast group page. Please stop by, sign up. I try to keep articles on there, keep some jokes and things like that, some content on there every other day if I can. That's really it, man. I mean, hey, this is another great show. You know, minus the problems we had
with Skype. Sans Skype
issues, but you know, hey, I enjoy talking about video games, man. You know, I love it. So,
Power Pellet Podcast. Don't forget to mention it to your friends. Ask them to follow us on iTunes and subscribe to us on Stitcher. And all of our previous episodes are all available on the YouTube. We're working on the SoundCloud. We get the SoundCloud account set up here pretty shortly.